From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. Bob Garfield is away this week. I'm Brooke Gladstone. And this week, we ponder the current state of artificial intelligence and its potential to, you know, elevate or annihilate humanity. Why has Google gobbled up the greatest minds in the field of robotics? Why does the Army use smartbot recruiters? Why are we leery of thinking machines but leap at the chance to snooze in the back seat while our cars drive themselves? It's a surprisingly old question, though the ancients seemed less conflicted. Take 11th century China, where mechanical humanoids chime the hours on an astronomical clock. Ever after and across the world, we craft automata to play music, write letters, and lately, even plumb our souls. The first use of the word robot, derived from the Slavic word for work, dates from 1920, a play by the Czech writer Karel Čapek. It's called Rossum's Universal Robots, or RUR, and it doesn't end well for us. Here's a scene from Yuri Rozovsky's radio play.
It was a crime to make robots.
No, Alquist, I don't regret that even today.
Not even today?
Not even today, the last day of civilization. Was it a crime to shatter the servitude of labor, the dreadful and humiliating labor that man had to undergo? Work was too hard. Life was too hard. And to overcome that...
was not what the two Rossums had in mind.
It's what I had in mind.
How well you succeeded! Well, we all succeeded. For profit. For progress. We have destroyed mankind.
That mortal conflict has since played out countless times in novels and on screens large and small. I mean, it's not always a conflict, but usually, J.P. Talat, the author of Replications, a robotic history of the science fiction film, says that this template of ambivalence was set with the film Forbidden Planet, specifically in the introduction of Robbie the Robot in 1956, a crucial year for smart machines.
Robbie, in fact, from the start of that film, is always presented as a figure that might or might not be under total control.
Robbie was a 7-foot servant and protector with a vacuum tube for a head, a washing machine tub for a body, and articulated arms and legs. Humans land on Robbie's world, which is devastated by technology. They decide to demolish the planet, but they can't leave without Robbie's technological know-how, so they take him along. Tricky. He saves them. He could destroy humanity. But he doesn't. In fact, he has a great TV career, appearing on Hazel, The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, The Addams Family, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and in his signature role,
Danger, Will Robinson, Danger,
on Lost in Space. Robbie was both iconic and a bit of an anomaly, because J.P. Talat sees a trajectory in our view of robots from pre-war fondness to post-war dread. The bomb drove home our suicidal inventiveness, and the Internet, the intrusive power of great, inexplicable forces in our lives. Now, robots no longer looked like Maytags. They looked like us, as in the 1973 movie Westworld.
We will soon be landing at the ultimate resort, where you can live out your every fantasy. Each resort is maintained by reliable computer technology and peopled by lifelike robot men and women. Desire ends in satisfaction, and all in a controlled environment.
Except when that notion of control goes a bit haywire, and Yul Brynner, for example, in Westworld starts killing the other guests.
Culturally, we've always been in a bit of a muddle. We love them. But do they love us back? Here's an early scene from the reboot of Battlestar Galactica.
Deep down, you've always known there was something different about me. It flatters your ego to believe that alone among all the billions of people of the 12 colonies, you were chosen for my mission.
Your mission? What mission?
You knew I wanted access to the defense mainframe.
What exactly are you saying?
Humanity's children are returning home today.
They seduce us every bit as much as they scare us. We yearn not just for the leisure they promise, but the immortality they represent. Is that why we build them?
Yeah, it may be the natural question. Why is natural reproduction not good enough for us? Well, that's because we are not good enough for us, right? We die. We can't help but wonder if there's some possible way of postponing it. You know, just much like the replicants do in the movie Blade Runner. We want more life.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time. Like tears.
More than zombies, werewolves, more even than vampires, robots in their infinite variety reflect all our greatest hopes and our greatest fears. And unlike those mythical creatures, robots exist, but not how we imagine. And they also pose a potential threat, but also not how we imagine.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.